And I'm going to open it up. Usually give it about a minute or two. So when you see that number of attendees, look like it's steady at a certain number, then you can start. I'm trying to say you can begin.
Welcome, everyone. We are going to have the cyber training webinar now. We were waiting for all of you to sign in, and probably several more will be signing in soon. So the cyber training webinar is offered by the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure. The three of us Cognizant program directors that you can reach out to when you want to know more about it, more about the solicitation. So I am Sharmista Bakhchi Sen. My co-presenters are Sheikh Ghafoor and Marlon Pierce. And Jenny is also here to answer your Q&A questions that you may have later on. Panelists are Tom Gulbranson and Nguyen Minh. We are going to talk about the solicitation NSF 23-520. The deadline for the proposals will be January 16th, 2025. So throughout this webinar, I think in the end, you can ask a lot of questions and we will give you answers. And we will get started now. So our goals are to orient you about the solicitation. And we encourage EPSCoR jurisdictions, schools in EPSCoR jurisdictions to send us proposals. We will summarize the cyber training program and its goals and present the review criteria and, of course, go through the question answer session. So our office has several opportunities of funding. We fall under learning and workforce development. You can orient yourself by going to our website and look at what we offer in terms of advanced computing, networking and cybersecurity, software and data CI, and other kind of strategic investments. We will touch upon one today, that's NAIRR, NAIRR. So cyber infrastructure, the way we define is a set of resources, tools, methods, and services for advanced computation, large-scale data handling and analytics, networking and security for large-scale systems that collectively enable potentially transformative fundamental science and engineering research and education. Communities we serve are CI professionals, CI contributors, CI users. CI professionals are those who deploy, manage, and collaboratively support the effective use of research CI. CI contributors will be the community of computational data and domain scientists and engineers who research and develop new capabilities, approaches, and methods. CI users will belong to the community of domain scientists and engineers who effectively exploit advanced CI capabilities and methods for research. So we have several CI-related programs. This is just to give you a highlight of what we have and where cyber training is situated. So there are, four of them: CSSI, OAC Core, Skype, and cyber training. You need to go to the solicitation to get more details on them. But CSSI focuses on developing software or data CI. OAC Core focuses on research that will enable future CI. Skype focuses on fostering CIP careers. A new solicitation, revised solicitation with a new deadline will be coming up for Skype. And cyber training, of course, is focused on providing training to the three communities that I mentioned. So if you're not familiar with CSSI or Skype, the definition is CSSI is cyber infrastructure for sustained scientific innovation, and Skype is strengthening the cyber infrastructure professionals ecosystem. What is our motivation? We know that advanced CI has a transformative impact on a variety of scientific research domains. The research workforce benefits from innovative discipline-appropriate training and curriculum development. And there is a need to foster broad adoption of CI resources, tools, and methods by diverse research communities. What are our goals? We, in cyber training, we prepare to prepare to nurture, and grow the national scientific research workforce for creating, utilizing, and supporting advanced cyber infrastructure to enable and potentially transform fundamental science and engineering research and contribute to the nation's overall economic competitiveness and security. The projects should aim to contribute to the larger goal of an educational ecosystem, enabling computational and data-driven science for all scientists and engineers. This embraces computation as the third pillar and data-driven science as the fourth pillar of the scientific discovery process, in addition to the traditional first and second pillars of theory and experimentation. Next, we'll discuss the solicitation goals, and I'll hand over to my colleague, Dr. Sheikh Ghafoor.
Thank you, Sharmishta. I just want to mention one thing, that this set of slides and today's recording would be available in near future, within a day or two, onto the website, NSF website. So coming back to this cyber training solicitation, if we look at the specific goal of this solicitation, there are two. One is to ensure broadening adoption of CI tools. So NSF and other federal agencies have invested over the time to develop different software infrastructure, which we call the CI tools, libraries, methods, and all of those things. So through this program, we want the community to broadly adopt this tool to in so the goal of this one of the cyber training goal is to ensure that that happens. And also the second goal is to, like in the disciplines, appropriate discipline, it can be physics, computer science, and other things, change the core literacy of that discipline in terms of changing curriculum, training, developing materials, so that this appropriate CI skills goes to this future research workforce. And through these, like all NSF programs, we want to broaden the CI access to this advanced cyber infrastructure to underrepresented groups. And specifically, if you think about cyber training, it is looking for innovative and scalable training, education, curriculum, instructional material development. Is at the heart of cyber training proposal. So we are looking for that. So either you provide training, developing curriculum, or combination of both. And this training is targeted for these three CI communities that Sharmishta just mentioned, the CI user, CI professional, and CI contributor. And this cyber training is a NSF-wide participation. OSCE is the lead. We manage the program, but out of SAIS Directorate, other divisions like CCF, CNS, IIS, they participate, they co-fund things because the cyber training is for the future research workforce. And they come from all, for example, engineering is there. We see our colleague Riha from engineering is present here. Geoscience, education, math and physical science, social and behavioral. Divisions, they also participates because it benefits all the constituent of all the directors of NSF. Next slide, Samishta. So let's get to the heart of this proposal. So we support through this proposal, we support three types of projects: the pilot, the small one, small implementation, and medium. And the pilot is for 2 years period, up to $300,000. Small implementation can be up to 4 years, $500,000, and medium implementation is up to 4 years, $1 million. And these projects, when you write this proposal, this project should address these six sort of key things. So your proposal should identify the challenge in the research workforce development that you are going to address, right? So that's one of the key things that, and then it should, the goal, two goals that I have mentioned, it should address one or both, at least one, that whether you are broadening the adoption of a CI tool or you are doing the training, curriculum development, and all of those things. So, and it can do both. And in some cases, these bigger proposals like the medium one address both. And in terms of training, we expect you can leverage, use the access resources. More about this in our next couple of slides. So that have a lot of existing training material. And what you develop as part of the project, you can also contribute to the access mechanism. Your project should be scalable. Your project should, when you are doing it, it may be you are doing it at your institute or a couple of institute, but it should be scaled in terms of other institution, bigger participant, and should at like all other NSF proposals, sustain itself, these training programs or the proposal that you are submitting. And your proposal should address the recruitment because it is a training, the targets are CI user, CI professional. So how you plan to recruit those participants which you are targeting and how you are going to evaluate your project when it is complete or it is ongoing. That's a key thing. And through all these activities, what we are looking for, that's kind of innovative ideas which would have a collective impact on the community and for the building a larger suitable community for CI research, future CI research workforce. So all these criteria, not all proposal classes of proposal have to address those. For example, pilot must address number one and two. In addition, it can address some more, but one and two must be addressed. In case of small, one through five, your project proposal should address. And for implementation medium, which is the largest class of proposal in cyber training, should address all six of them. Next slide. So I mentioned about access. So there are certain resources, several resources available for your project to execute. So one of those is access. That's that NSF has invested in bigger cyber infrastructure and they have a lot of training material. So you can use access as part of your project. You can use clouds for providing training and others, and you can use cloud bank and that high throughput computing resources. So if you want to know more about those, you can contact one of those Cognizant program officer, or the links are provided here that provides information. So these are the resources that are available to leverage for your project. Next slides. These are some more detail about access. These are the big cyber infrastructure distributed over the country where you can apply for allocation, small allocation, bigger allocation to for training purpose or hosting your material purpose, things of that sort. So there are a little more information. Next one. So Sharmista mentioned about this NAIR, and I will hand it over to our colleague Marlon to take it from here for the rest of the slides.
Great, thank you, Sheikh. So National Artificial Intelligence Research Resource Pilot, or NAIR Pilot, is another resource or source of resources for you to get access to computing and potentially other things that you might need to conduct your cyber training or other research. So these resource requests, so these are not funding requests, these are time on computing resources and so forth. They have to be specifically for AI research. So some of the resources are things that are also available through Access, but NAIR is not just an NSF initiative. It's a multi-agency initiative. So there are other resources such as DOE computing resources available through NAIR. And then also there are many commercial sector partners who are also contributing resources to NAIR, commercial cloud vendors, people like that. So you should definitely look at that. You don't have to have that done for your proposal, but if you get funded or if you are seeing a need for this anyway, you can go ahead and apply. And so there is also, as Jenny put in the chat here, there is a DCL 24-109 that's related to this topic area. So that has some other opportunities for educators and people wanting to build training and workforce development communities. All right, so the next slide, please. So I'm going to say a few words in general about navigating the NSF. So you can submit your proposals through one of two mechanisms. You can go through research.gov or you can go through grants.gov. So if you're unfamiliar with these processes, we highly recommend that you look at the NSF Proposal and Award Policies and Procedure Guide, or PAPPG, which has information about submitting proposals and all sorts of other important information that you should know. And then also there's additional application guide for those who go through grants.gov. Okay, next slide, please. So how do I know if the program is a good fit for my project? Usual advice applies here. Read the solicitation carefully. You can also look at the program page. You can find at the bottom a link that will show you other awards that have been made through this program in the past that can take you to abstracts. And you can also always talk to NSF program officers. We'll probably, email is usually the best. We get a lot of inquiries about these programs. So I suggest, we suggest you prepare a 1 to 2 page write-up in advance and submit that, including key questions, contributions, activities. As Sheikh mentioned earlier, and I'll also say in a few minutes here, there are solicitation specific as well as general review criteria. So you can save us a couple of email exchanges by also explaining how you address the solicitation specific criteria. And so you can contact so you can contact us. We can put that back up later. What factors are considered for funding a proposal? As always, it's available funding and how responsive you are to the solicitation. And we're also, if you're unfamiliar with NSF processes, we will peer review all the proposals on panels, and the panel of your peers will make recommendations about the responsiveness or priority of different proposals, and these will be based on intellectual merit, broader impacts, and solicitation-specific criteria. So next slide, please. So all NSF proposals are reviewed according to two criteria: the intellectual merit and broader impacts. So, we highly encourage you to make this information, your responsiveness to these criteria, clear, so that reviewers will not have to struggle to answer these questions. You should make this clear yourself. So, intellectual merit is the potential of the proposal to advance knowledge and understanding. And broader impacts are the benefits to society or desired societal outcomes. And we also recommend that you look in the NSF website for particular pages that provide guidance on writing good broader impacts plans. The rest of these build on each other, so you want proposals that are creative, original, and potentially transformative, but also the plan doesn't just need to be a good idea. It should look like something that's a well-organized plan that has a high chance of being executed successfully. Coupled to that is mechanisms to assess success and perhaps adjust the program or project as needed. And of course, you need to be qualified to do the work, so you want to convey your qualifications. And lastly, you need to convey that you have the adequate resources available to you to carry out the proposed work. Okay, next slide, please. So as Sheikh already said, there are six solicitation-specific criteria. So reviewer, you can, if you read the proposal, you'll see these are the sections that you should, the solicitation, these are the proposal sections. But also reviewers will specifically be asked to comment upon all of these as appropriate for your draft proposal. So the first two apply to pilots. So what's the rationale? Why, what's the problem you're trying to solve? And then two, Sheikh already said a fair amount about this. What are the target areas for your proposal? Three is the potential for scalability and sustainability. So scalability. We don't want to just see proposals that target one university, for example, but we want to see how you're going to scale out. And sustainability, what happens after your funding ends, how will the outputs of your project carry on after the specific project ends? You're going to need to recruit participants. So how are you going to do that? And you might want to say here how you're going to address issues of broadening participation, targeting underrepresented groups, things like that. And then a project evaluation plan. So if you're familiar with other programs like REU, this is somewhat like that, in that you should have an evaluator associated with your project to help you decide if you're achieving your goals or not. Five, the effectiveness of the proposed collective impact. So you should be connecting yourself to other entities that help you achieve more than your project is going to achieve by itself. And then six, the soundness of the plans for fostering a suitable community. So small implementations do the first five, and medium implementations are going to be judged by all six. Next slide, please. What not to do? Read the solicitation carefully and follow the instructions and guidance there. And then if you have anything that's not covered there, refer to the PAPPG or PAPG that I mentioned earlier. Remember, of course, we're the National Science Foundation. You want to fund things that are going to be well-reasoned. They're going to be providing citations or evidence for assertions you make and so forth. You're going to be reviewed by your peers who are faculty or scientists or other CI professional practitioners. So remember, those are the people you're going to have to convince. Do a good job writing your project narratives and so forth. So it always helps to have other people take a look at it before you submit. Don't spend all of your page limit talking about what you've done in the past, but rather use that as the foundation for explaining what you're going to do under this particular proposed work. And finally, RWR is the dreaded return without review. So don't look at the RWR criteria within the solicitation. The main one is dealing with PI limitations. And so please read the solicitation and PAPPG carefully for things that could have your proposal returned without review. If you have any questions about any of those things, those are things you should ask us either now or by email later. All right, next slide. Okay, so you can put your questions in the Q&A section. I think we already have some coming. And you can also email us, but we have a few common questions I'll go over quickly. So let's, next slide. Question number one, do you have to talk with us before you submit? And the answer is no, but it's strongly encouraged that you do. And not just with the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, but also with Cognizant program officers, potentially from other parts of NSF who might be interested in your cyber training proposal. Do this not at the last minute, but at least a month in advance. Next slide. Can my project primarily train or retrain for jobs in the IT industry? No, the proposal should be relevant to scientific research, workforce development, and advanced cyber infrastructure. Cybersecurity proposals must be relevant to the scientific research workflow. And this relevance will vary from undergraduate to graduate to CI professionals and across disciplines. So your target audience is the search community. Question number three, must you already have a small size implementation before seeking a medium? The answer is no. This one's short. Okay, so that's all the common questions. So we'll now open up the floor for your Q&As. Thank you. I'll answer one here. about can we volunteer ourselves to be a reviewer? In case nobody's answered that already, somebody may have. But yeah, we encourage everybody listening to this, if you are not planning to submit, you can certainly serve as a reviewer. It's a great way to learn about the program. But also, if you submit to one track, like pilot, you can all serve as a reviewer on other tracks.
So, I will take another one. There is a question. Could you provide more details about the difference between small and medium projects? Specifically, what kind of activities should be included in the fostering a suitable community section? So, we cannot tell you exactly directly the what kind of the, but the idea is that when you are implementing a project, you have to engage and build a community. So let me give you some example. This may not be applicable to your project. You are developing training materials and you are implementing it into your classroom and maybe in another university with your collaborator, right? So you want to foster a community on that. So you want to maybe go try to influence in some, say, if it is a computer science, ACM curriculum and others, you go participate into ACM's curriculum revision forum, present those things. Have a website or have a faculty development workshop in relevant conferences where those type of faculties are coming. You are proposing those. That means other will know and they will start communicating, giving you ideas. These are some of the things that you do for fostering and building community. And there can be many other way of doing it, and you have to come up with those are required. Not only you are developing and doing a training in a prototype fashion. So that would be the in a larger proposal, would like to see those more and more, right? You can propose small tutorial training in, for example, an education conference like Computer Science and 6C conference, or in engineering has this. What is the engineering ASEE conferences? There are training and tutorial there. So that means you're building community. So those are some examples. Not necessarily you have to follow that, but appropriate to your proposal, you come up with these ideas. And you can come up with innovative ideas that we have not thought about, right? There are other ways to fostering community. So that is required for larger proposals. And Marlon or Riha, anybody wants to add? I see Lincoln.
And then we have a new question, so we can move on. So, yeah, I'll go ahead and read it. Although I think it's going to be answered in typing. So, what audiences should the training address? What institutions, age groups, so forth? So, I'll take a first stab at this one and let my colleagues jump in. But so, there's a range of audiences that you can target. So, if you remember back in the specific review criteria number two, there are two types. One is addressing graduate and undergraduate curriculum development, and then that was actually B, and then A for that is addressing the CI research community or people who are using CI, cyber infrastructure. So you could think of the here we go. And so there's more detail in the solicitation, right? But so these are your target communities typically. So also Sharmista in the beginning outlined three different communities, CI users, CI developers. Yeah, so basically, those,
CA.
yeah.
Right. The CA user, CA professional, and CA contributor.
So you can target a cyber training proposal around, you can build it around one or more of these groups.
If I might add, the recruiting aspect of how some proposals will be reviewed is another part of how the proposals will be reviewed. And of course, recruiting reflects where you think there's a need to pull trainees from or to, you know, in bring more people into this skill base. So to some degree, it's up to the proposers to decide where might there be a need to achieve better representation, better engagement in communities that might not have that thus far.
Ernesto, you were going to answer that one, and I think we stole your thunder. Do you have anything else to say?
No, that's fine. I showed the slides. No, you did, very well. Well, thank you.
Could we revisit one of the questions that was raised and answered? I'm not sure if the answers went out publicly. It had to do with the evaluation plan and where an evaluation plan might be appropriate to address or not. And the solicitation-specific criteria note that it doesn't not required to be part of the pilot. So could we anticipate the effect if an evaluation plan was included, even if the pilot didn't have to do that? Would that be an issue or a...
So it is not required according to the solicitation. However, having an evaluation plan sometimes makes the proposal better. So in my previous life, I was part of one of the pilot project, and we did have an evaluation plan. But this is not a, because pilot is you're implementing or experimenting in your own institution. So you may want to do some evaluation, you may write about that, but an evaluation plan is not required. And if you, it doesn't also have to be as rigorous, in my interpretation, is as it is required for small and medium. As for a small and medium, it is required. You have to have an evaluation plan for your project.
Yeah. I could.
Any other comment from my colleagues?
I could add an opinion there. I think pilots are, maybe a precursor to going after a larger implementation award. And if that's what you think you would like to do, then you do have a limited budget, but having some evaluation can really help help you make that next step to an implementation level award. So we have a good question. Actually, I think somebody else already answered it. A good question in chat about...
Marlon, you can go ahead and answer that. I give a short answer, but you can feel free to address that, the one about the contacting a directorate.
We do. So you are encouraged to submit proposals that are relevant, not just the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, but other parts of the NSF, other divisions. So we have a couple of our fellow program officers from other divisions here. We welcome those types of submissions. We'd recommend probably you contact us at once together. And so if you're going to do that, if you're going to do a CMMI plus OAC proposal, for example, then you need to have somebody who's a cyber infrastructure specialist and then somebody who's a on your team who's the engineering, the CMMI domain expert for that proposal. So you mentioned specifically in the question, geo, yeah. So you'd want to have a geo expert as well. You would say for co-funding, it's, I'll just say it's encouraged, but maybe CSSI, we're a little bit more rigorous about the co-funding requirement.
And also I answered a question on international collaborators and travel. All those budget information, please check with PAPGN. If you have, your university has a SRO, they are going to help you. If you can't find answers through your university, then please let us know about very specific budget items and we will be able to give you an answer.
Another question. Is there any specific information on how many total awards will be given in each category? There's some information in the solicitation about how many expected awards, but that's our guidance.
Okay, I am not seeing any more questions.
And just to add, if you have questions in future and you know that our Cognizant program officer names are in the program page, you can write to us. So it may, while you are writing the program proposal, you may come up with questions.
There's a new question for pilot grants. Do we need preliminary experiments? Which panelists would like to reply?
So I can take that. No, you don't need preliminary experiments. So it's not a requirement. If you have some preliminary experiments, that's okay. But it's for any class of proposal, it's not a requirement. You have to have a convincing story, right? Well reasons that the reviewer that responds to the solicitation criteria. And that convinces the reviewers that it is a good proposal. It will achieve the program goal.
Well, we have time, so if you have questions, please post. Or we look forward to hearing from you and receiving your proposals. And please, definitely, if you're interested in serving as reviewers for us, please let us know. You can just email one of us. Our emails are on the solicitation page. We have one more question. Thank you. Thank you very much for attending. All right. So I think thank you, Edgar, for helping us. I think we are done. What do you think, everyone? We should be
Yeah,
closing.
I
Yes.
think everything is done. Good.
Yes. Thank you.